We shared last night, the burden of the conference is to see preparing, this title here, preparing for Christ's second coming as seen in the book of Isaiah. Yeah, it was right. It was pointed out. It was missing on this outline, but if you go up to the website, it's everywhere else. I'm not sure why it was missing on the outline. But we do want to spend this weekend conference to really get into and to see what the Lord is speaking through the prophet Isaiah as it relates to preparing for the Lord's second coming. Parable of the ten. It was good. Last night was a very sobering word regarding the parable of the 10 virgins. And there was a warning there. The warning is that we would not be the foolish virgins, because it's the foolish virgins that will not enter in to the wedding feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we also saw that time is short. With the whole world situation today, everything is being ripened very quickly that we could see the Lord come back, even as possibly as fast as 7 years from the time the peace treaty is signed. Right? So if this time is short, and we know that this warning is, there's a possibility that we would become not the wise virgins, but remain as the foolish servants, then we really need to consider before the Lord, Lord, then what is it that we need to do to prepare for your coming? And in the mornings, these outlines, we're now going to get into the outlines. The outlines are geared for the morning meetings. So we will actually go through this outline for the meeting, the first meeting, to really get into the matter of what is it that we need to prepare? What is it that we need to consider? What is it that we need to see? Right? I don't know if you thought about it, you know, regarding the foolish virgins. Why were they foolish? I mean, they know that they need to get ready. They know that they need to buy the oil, right? And they know they need to pay the price. And today, I believe we all know. We all realize. We all want to be the wise virgins, the one who will buy the oil to fill not only their lamps, but to fill their vessels, so that when the bridegroom comes, we would be prepared to enter in to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Right? So, what is our real condition? Why is it that we are not preparing today? Right? The common thing, we all know this, but yet, why is it that we are not changing? So this word here, this passage here in Isaiah, gives us a glimpse in terms of our real condition. When it says, why should you be stricken again? In verse 5, you will revolt more and more. Why is that, right? God could give the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, so many warnings, so many stripes, and yet they will revolt more and more. Why is that the case? The case is because the whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints, and from the sole of the foot to the head, there's no soundness, but wounds and bruises and putrefying souls. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. So what the Lord needs to open our eyes to begin to see is the reason of our condition, or what is our real condition, is it's not only that we have sinned, but sin brings us into the sickness. We are really sick, brothers and sisters. Spiritually speaking, in our soul, we are all sick. And if we do not deal with this sickness, eventually sickness leads to death. Right? So there's a progression. There's a matter of the sin, the poison that has entered into us. And there is then the cause of this poison in us causes us to become sick. And if we don't do anything about this sickness, we die. Right? This is why in Matthew 9:12, the Lord said, when he was speaking to his disciples. When Jesus had heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Right? Today, if you're not sick, will you go see a doctor? No. Very logical, Timo. Exactly. If we are not sick, or if we think we are not sick, we definitely will not go to a doctor. But if you are sick, will you go to a doctor? Of course. Most of the time, we will go to the doctors. But even sometimes when we're a little bit sick, we won't go to the doctors. We'll say, we can ride this out. We don't need anything, right? We can be strong and do it ourselves. We don't need to go see a doctor. Right? And this, if we don't get this concept, if we don't see this concept of sickness, meaning our condition, our soul being sick, then why would we learn to go see the doctor? And so this is why the title of this meeting is so significant. It says, "The Physician for Our Healing." Right? Last night we realized that our vision would be limited if we only saw the Lord as our Savior. And it was good to see last night that our Lord is not only our Savior, but He's our wonderful Bridegroom. But today we also need to see that the Lord is our wonderful Physician. Why? Because we need to see that we are sick. Right? This is why these verses here in Isaiah is very, very eye-opening. It's concept-changing. Right? Because if we only see the Lord as our physician, as our Savior, then we will only ask for forgiveness. But if you're sick, think about it. If you are sick today and you go to the doctors, you tell the doctor, "Doctor, I'm sick. I have problems with my stomach. I have a stomach ache." Now, what do you think the doctor will say to you? "Oh, Jasmine, you're forgiven. Thank you for telling me, and you're forgiven." Is that going to solve the problem of the stomach ailment that Jasmine has? No. And it sounds a little bit crazy, doesn't it? You don't go to the doctors to confess your illness and then only to have your doctor forgive you. Right? And as crazy as that is, unfortunately, this is what we do with the Lord many times. We do something and we commit a sin or commit a trespass with the Lord, and we always go back, "Lord," because it says, "Come to Him, confess. Confess your sins and you will be forgiven, cleansed of your unrighteousness, forgiven of your sin and cleansed of your unrighteousness, and then everything is fine," right? But the next day, the same thing happens again. And then we confess and we're forgiven, but then yet again the next day, we keep repeating this. You ever ask why? Why is it that we keep repeating the same mistakes? It's because we all have a sickness. And this sickness is called sin. It's a poison that is within us. And it is because of this sin that will cause us to be sick. And if we don't deal with it, eventually we will die, spiritually speaking. Right? And so this is a change in concept that we need to begin to have. Lord, I don't want my sins not only to be forgiven, but Lord, heal me. I want you to heal me, right? So Isaiah gets into a very descriptive, description of our condition of sickness, right? And when you get into it, especially there in chapter 1, the most outstanding feature of this sickness is that we are proud. And because we are proud, we are also rebellious. This is why in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 3, it says, "The ox knows its owner, and the donkey knows its master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not consider. I think all of us know that the Lord is our King, doctrinally speaking. But in our experience, in our daily life, do we take the Lord as our King who reigns in our life, who gives us what he wants, who tells us what we should do? Do we follow his commands? Right? This is the problem. This is our sickness. To the point that Isaiah chapter 1 verse 20 says, "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword." So this is a sickness within us. Pride. Pride, which then leads to rebellion, is one of the core poison in the sin. That's why in Proverbs 6, it says there are six things the Lord hates. It didn't say that the Lord dislikes or the Lord tolerates. No, it says six things the Lord hates. Yes, there are seven are an abomination to him. And the first item is a proud look. This is what the Lord hates. A proud look. Lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Right? So, this is what the Lord hates. He hates pride. He hates us being pride. That's why Peter even says, God resists the proud. Right? You might say, well, I'm not proud. I don't go around, you know, being arrogant. I don't go around, you know, showing off. I don't go around telling everybody all the wonderful things that I did. Right? I don't think many of us are what Americans call showboaters. We don't showboat. Right? I don't think any of us are like that. But pride isn't just in that form. Pride, actually, the quieter we are, what I've realized is the quieter I am, the more proud I am. Because I know better than you. I'm not going to say it. I'll hear you. But in my heart, I said, thank you, but no thank you. You don't know my situation. You don't know what it's like to live in my shoes. You don't know anything about me. So thank you, but no thank you. Am I being proud outwardly? Am I being, you know, am I being arrogant towards you? No. But you should begin to realize the pride is in the heart. This pride is there. And nothing is more clear in saying that we have pride is when we say, I know. I already know. I don't think anybody would ever think in these terms, right? Because, you know, you're looking for the obvious things for pride, but pride is really something deep within our heart. And this is our attitude. If you consider your actions, you consider the way you deal with people, as I said, the quieter we are, there's a higher chance that the more proud we are, because it's hidden within us, right? And this is the problem with the sickness, right? We don't realize we're sick. Many times when we think, you know, I need the healing, is only when we are manifesting the sickness. We're not doing, is anybody here doing anything terrible? Are you murdering someone? Are you robbing banks or anything like that? No. So we don't think we're sinful. We don't think we have a problem. But actually the pride within us, we should begin to see this is a sickness. And this is a sickness that eventually causes rebellion. Right? In the matter of the rebellion, right? This is why it says God resists the proud, But when you read through Isaiah, you can see a lot regarding the rebellion of the people of God during this time. So may the Lord really wake us up to see our real condition. And with all of, with the underlying poison within us, there are many descriptions that Isaiah tells us. When you go to Isaiah 6:9, it says, "You keep on hearing, but do not understand. You keep on seeing, but do not perceive." How often that we hear the word of the Lord. We hear the word of the Lord, and yet we don't see. Right. Last night, we were speaking about concerning the parables of the 10 virgins. 10 virgins, all of them Christians. 5 are wise, 5 wise Christians. 5 were foolish, 5 foolish Christians. But yet, why is it today so many are blinded to think that the 5 foolish virgins are unbelievers? Even though the verse is very clear, this is speaking about the believers. There's the blindness. We might read the words, but we don't understand. We cannot perceive what the Lord is really speaking in the word. So blindness, deafness, right? Many times we hear one ear and it goes out the other ear. How many times are we reminded by the Lord speaking? Whether it's in the conferences, whether it's in the fellowship week to week in each of the churches, or in our daily life. How often does the Lord speak, and yet for some reason we don't hear? Right? This is the condition, brothers and sisters. This is sickness. And the unclean lips. Actually, one more thing about the ears. Not only do we not like to somehow not hear the Lord, we have what we call selective hearing. When the Lord speaks, we don't hear. But when gossip speaks, all of a sudden, itchy ears are ready to listen. That's why in 2 Timothy, "For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine or healthy teaching, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. And they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth." Right? The matter of turning their ears away from the truth and to be turned aside to fables. So even our ears, this sickness has affected our eyes and our ears, our inward eyes and our inward ears. Do we see the Lord? Do we see his goal? Do we see his purpose? Or is it still really fuzzy? Or even worse, are we just blinded to it? And what is it that we use our ears for? And then, of course, the matter of the unclean lips. Isaiah 6 says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." So, what comes out of our mouth? This is a sickness. We need to realize this is a sickness, brothers and sisters. Why is what comes out of our mouth sick? Because our heart is incurably wicked. That's why in Jeremiah chapter 17, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and incurably." The New King James says desperately wicked, but a more accurate word would be incurably sick. Incurably sick. Means your heart is not curable. We cannot cure our own hearts. So do we realize our heart is incurably wicked? I mean, incurably. You cannot cure it. And then when we speak about the love of the world in 1 John, it speaks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and then the last part, the pride of life. Right, so again, the matter of being proud, the pride of life. And we have to understand, you know, this sickness is not like a flu or a cold. You know, you catch a cold and after a little while it goes away. But in 2 Timothy, it speaks about, and their message will spread like cancer or gangrene. What is cancer? I think we all know what cancer is. This is what we're dealing with. Many more people are being diagnosed with cancer. And cancer is one of the most devastating, deadly disease with no cure for most of it. But gangrene, I think, is also quite interesting to know what that word means, because you may not know what it means. It means localized death and decomposition of body tissue, resulting from either obstructed circulation or bacterial infection. That means you're alive, right? And let's say, you know, I had a cut here on my finger and I don't take care of it and there's a bacterial infection, actually on this thumb, it actually happened to me. And what will happen is if you don't treat it, it gets infected, it pusses up and it gets really swollen. And if my mom didn't catch me with a big swollen thumb, it would have decomposed into gangrene. I was a young child and I kept picking at my finger and it got infected and it swelled up. And the doctor said it was very close to turning into gangrene where they would have had to amputate my thumb. Right? So we need to realize and have an appreciation, brothers and sisters, what is it that we are dealing with that our whole being is infected with? This is the seriousness of sin. Right? And eventually we will have the inability even to obey the Lord. Even as much as we want to obey the Lord, we have no strength, we have no energy, we don't have the ability to obey the Lord. That's why the Lord even said in Isaiah 5, "Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more." Right? This is really our situation. And this is why in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" How many times do you feel like you want to overcome, but you're powerless to do it? There's always certain things in our lives you know you want to overcome, but you can't and you feel powerless. Right? This is our real condition, brothers and sisters. And eventually when you get to both Galatians and 1 Corinthians, it says, if we continue in this way, now the works of the flesh are evident. And there's a long list. I encourage you to read through this long list. But embedded in it, there are phrases, things like selfish ambitions, dissensions, jealousies, envy. And it goes on and it ends as this: "And those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." It was spoken not only in Galatians, but it was also spoken in 1 Corinthians. Read these verses. This gives you even more detail regarding our condition, the condition that we are in, the matter of our sickness. Right? And in the end, what is the result? If we do not deal with this, it will definitely result in division, destruction, and death. That's why it says in Isaiah, "If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And really, when you consider this, if we don't learn to go to the Lord, to be healed, to be dealt with by the sickness that is pervasive within our body, within our soul, then yes, we will be devoured by the sword. Okay, today we might not draw swords and cut each other down, but we do have a strong tongue, a strong mouth, and we can say a lot of things that would cause conflict, and ultimately it would devour us in the fights and the struggles that we have in our daily life. And this would end up in division, destruction, and death. Brothers and sisters, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, open our eyes, sanctify us, renew the spirit of mind to see how just how serious our condition is. And then along the lines of once we recognize our condition, to see then that the Lord is also our physician. He is our doctor to heal us. Right, this is why in Isaiah 53:5 it says, but he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And it was repeated again in 1 Peter chapter 2, by whose stripes you were healed. And actually, when you take a look at the Lord's ministry, when he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven during his 3.5 years of his ministry, it said in Matthew, it says, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. Right, and his fame went through all of Syria. And in the last part of verse 24 says, and he healed them. Right, the Lord is really our wonderful and great physician, our doctor. And only the Lord has the capabilities to, number one, diagnose us and prescribe to us the medicine. And he is the actual medicine to heal us. Right? And it's very clear, we know that the Lord is the one who can heal. Because in Numbers chapter 21, it says this. This is after the children of Israel, they were all bitten by serpents. And they were all dying because of the poison of the serpents. And in Numbers it says, then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Praise the Lord. Today we need to see that our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ is this brazen or bronze serpent. Because in John chapter 3, it also goes on, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him, he should not perish, but have eternal life. So the Lord definitely is our healer. He is this bronze serpent raised up on the pole. And through the work of his crucifixion on the cross, he dealt with, once and for all, the poison of sin that had entered into man. This is why in John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, behold, the Lamb of God who, what? Takes away the sin, not sins, but the sin, the root cause, the poison within us, the sin of the world. And this is why in Romans chapter 6, it also speaks about that our old man has been crucified. And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. Through the Lord's work on the cross, he has once and for all dealt with our old man. Our old man has been crucified together with him on the cross and has been dealt with. And then the Lord also create within us, creating a new man in resurrection life. Not just that he dealt with us, with our sin, but he has also given us his resurrection life, a new life to be healed by, to be changed. And so today we need to begin to experience the Lord in such a way. And how do we practically apply the Lord? as this medicine to begin to heal us. Right? It was so good to read through the Gospels again and to see that the inward healing through the life of Christ is really through his incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, and his ascension. Everything that the Lord did while he was on this earth is for our healing. It is our medication. Right? When you read through the different cases here, I put four cases in the outline. Right? How do we see again? Right? In the cases of the blind man who was healed by the Lord. You know, there's the blind man, and when he saw people, it looked like, you know, he was blind. He couldn't see. And the Lord touched his eyes the first time. And after touching his eyes the first time, when he saw a man, they looked like trees. Still was not clear enough. And when the Lord touched them a second time, then everything became clear. The Lord's healing of that blind man in the times of the gospel isn't just for the physical healing for his sight, but this should be our experience in the Lord healing our blindness. Lord, today I don't still see so clearly concerning your coming. Lord, heal my eyes that I may see that you are coming sooner than later. Heal my eyes that I may see that you're really the medication and that I have a real problem with sin, that this is a sickness. We're still blinded. We don't realize how terrible our sickness is. We need the Lord to touch our eyes so that we can see that we need to be healed in our sight. And then there is the woman who had blood flowing out of her for 12 years. This is the life coming out of her for 12 years. Can you imagine being bleeding for 12 years? And then through her touch of the Lord's garment, she was healed. How often do a situation be no more life to overcome a situation? Do we turn and we touch even the Lord's garment to give us this resurrection life, to have the life restored within us? This is not a matter of being forgiven. It is a matter of us being healed. Right? The lame man. For 38 years, he was laying there. He wanted to get healed. He couldn't get to the water to be healed. How many of us feel lame sometimes? You're just sitting there. You can't move. So many things the Lord wants to do within us, and we are lame. Can't even stand up, pick up our bed, and walk. Right? But yet, this one was healed. Rise up, pick up your bed, and walk. This is not just a good miracle to talk about, but do we turn to the Lord? Do we apply the Lord in these situations? We're in the middle of our daily life. I don't know how many times this week when we were trying to get ready, Sharon says, John, turn. And actually my daughters were saying the same thing, turn. And sometimes I just felt like this lame man, really hard to turn. To turn for the healing. Right? Don't you feel that way sometimes? Stuck on the plane for 2 hours, right? Delayed. Or going into the air and all of a sudden you hear something with the airplane and being diverted. All kinds of things that happens to us. Or taking care of the kids. Work. Who likes to work? So many things. And this is just the earthly matters. But when it comes to the spiritual things, when it comes to God's purpose, I hope you begin to understand why those virgins, foolish virgins, were foolish. There is a sickness within us. We are even powerless. We're lame. Right? So these are just some examples of how the Lord heals us. And it requires us to make that choice to turn to him to be healed. And, you know, as we've been going through the book of Isaiah for these last months, I began to realize how the matter of the feasts, what God has provided to us, Christ as all of the wonderful feasts, is our medicine to becoming healed. Right? The feast of the Passover, this is the Lord delivering us from this present evil age, dealing with the sin within us, the unleavened bread, the fine humanity, the first feast of the first fruits, resurrection life, and the feast of weeks, the ascension of Christ. There's so many areas. I began to realize, the more I saw the description of my condition, the more I realized, now I can experience the Lord. Lord, I need your healing as I remember keeping the feast of the unleavened bread. And this is what God has already provided to us. And if we labor daily to apply the Lord, then we also have the offerings. I'm not obedient to the Lord. I'm rebellious with the Lord. Lord, right now, today, I take you as my burnt offering. Heal my rebelliousness that I may be one with the Father, obedient to his commands. All of a sudden now, the offerings become alive because they very, in a very specific way, address all my specific sicknesses, the characteristic in my sicknesses. Right? This is so wonderful. And this is why even in Hebrews 10:14, it says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." Now it becomes very clear how the Lord, if we experience and apply the Lord in his incarnation, all of his human living, in his crucifixion, in his resurrection and ascension, and we partake of him in such a way in all the feasts and apply him in all the offerings, for sure we will be healed. Because this is a very practical way to be healed. Right? But the one thing about the healing, you need to realize, it does take time. Right? How many days do you need to eat the antibiotics to make sure that that infection is gone? How many days usually? The worst for 7, and some needs 10 days. Right? The worst thing you can do with the antibiotic is what? Take it after 2 days, you feel like you're okay, and then you stop taking it. Why is that terrible? Because if you only take partial course of antibiotics, eventually that germ will develop, it will mutate, improve itself, and come back with a vengeance, come back in a stronger way so that that antibiotic is of none effect. Right? So if we, this is our problem, in our same spiritual condition, we turn to the Lord and at that moment we are healed, the Lord deals with something there, and then we think, ah, okay, we are now healed of getting mad. Or we are healed of dealing with something in our daily life. And then we forget about the medicine. The next week, when it comes back, it will come back even stronger. Right? So the healing process takes time. It requires us to eat of the Lord, to part of the Lord as this medicine. Right? And so this is the matter of being nourished by the healthy teachings. This is why in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul encourages Timothy, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine or the healthy teachings which you have carefully followed. James emphasizes, it says, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So the matter of being nourished here, right? This is a matter of eating the healthy word. We need to be nourished by his words through the Spirit. If we are nourished in this way, then we will be healed. Right? If you're sick, Kyle, you have a bad cold. Is the best solution for you to just down a couple of Mountain Dews or Coca-Cola? And eat candy, Skittles. all kinds of candy? No. Why? It doesn't help. It actually might make it worse. Right? If you're sick, you're gonna most likely at least drink chicken noodle soup with all the rich nutrients. And if it's so bad that chicken noodle soup doesn't help, then you're probably going to also need antibiotics. Right? So in the same way with our daily life, are we being nourished by the healthy teachings? Right? This is important. What we take in daily will heal us. But if we don't do it, it will come back even stronger. I mentioned earlier a little bit about cancer. It spreads like cancer or gangrene. You know, cancer is what I call, in many ways, it's a silent killer. Because, I mean, unless the tumor is manifested on the outside, sometimes you just don't realize the person has cancer. And what's really frustrating with that is, when you don't see the outward symptoms of cancer, and if you're the cancer patient and you don't feel it, you feel like you're okay, then you don't want to take the chemotherapy. And we all know if you don't take the chemotherapy, what happens? The cancer will definitely not only come back, it will spread even more. And ultimately, cancer is what will kill you. The tumor load within the body will kill you if we don't take the chemo. Right, so this matter of the sickness, brothers and sisters, I hope we are impressed that we really are sick from head to toe and that we need the Lord to be our physician, to heal us, right? And if we learn to partake of him, to eat of him as the healthy teachings, partake of him in his word, then he can heal us as the holy anointing, to abide in the holy anointing. In John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance in all things that I say to you." If we learn to take in God's word every day, it doesn't have to be a lot, but if we take in key verses, and we really pray over it and then be open to the moving of the Spirit within us in our daily life, and he's the one who brings the remembrance of the word to us, then the Lord can begin to heal us, begin to change us. And so this is a matter of the healing process. May the Lord really show us this, not just to see it. Again, this is not about seeing it in a doctrinal standpoint, but to learn to apply it. Because in the end, okay, you may know, here's our sickness, and you also may know, the Lord is our doctor, and he's our medicine, but in the end, we need to choose. Are we willing to accept the diagnosis? Are we willing to receive and to eat of the medicine that the Lord has provided for us? If we do, praise the Lord, then we will be healed and we are on our way to being the wise virgins. But if we choose not to, and as Isaiah says, if we are unwilling and rebel, then you will be devoured with the sword, right? To prolong dealing with our sickness of sin, the poison within us, will eventually result in sickness and then eventually death in our spiritual walk. So may the Lord really open our eyes and really show us, Lord, and pray. This is the one thing I've been learning to do for these last months, is to learn to pray this way. Lord, I want to be healed. It's not just to be forgiven of my sins, but Lord, I want to be healed. I tell you, when I pray in this way, my whole concept of speaking with the Lord changes. And it allows the Lord to begin to deal with me in different areas of my life. And the Lord can begin to change. The Lord can really begin to heal it. Right? So we should all begin this way. Lord, heal us. Learn to pray in this way. Lord, you are my doctor, heal me. So may we experience the Lord as our physician for our healing.